Good afternoon, Nevada Shooters. Welcome back. Arm Nevada Radio, Saturday afternoon. It's, I don't know, 3-something. I don't have my watch. Time is irrelevant right now. It's me. I'm here, Gary, in the studio. The chair to my immediate left is empty today. We're missing my co-host, Ben. In his place is the man, the myth, the legend, Sean Patrick from the Sean, Travis, and Dave Show. Heard here weekdays at
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock every afternoon.
What's up, man? How are you,
brother? Good.
I'm good. I'm slowly recuperating from our adventures on Thursday.
Yes, if you can call them that. It's been a tough week.
I'm sure it has been a really tough week.
It's been hard. Yesterday was a mixed bag of emotions yesterday. Pride, sorrow, just depression. I mean, everything. And to be a part of that though, and to honor, you know, our brother. I can't thank you enough, Sean, for coming out. I really can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you're an oath keeper. You came out there and stood with us.
I did.
I really do appreciate that. We had a good showing. I want to really take a minute to thank the representatives from the Army Guard out of Douglas County, the Army recruiters.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're active duty guys, sorry about that. I want to give you guys a special shout out. And I can't thank enough Sergeant First Class Schilling, who put this all together for us. And out there yesterday was Sergeant First Class Strickland, Staff Sergeant Martin, Staff Sergeant Cabanillas, and Sergeant Wiesel. They were the Army Color Guard that came out yesterday, stood formation with us, brought the state flag and the United States flag out. And we stood there and held salute for 20 minutes. We stood at attention, holding salute.
Yeah, I picked the wrong day to do a shoulder workout the day before.
Yeah, it was rough. You know what kept me going, though? Because I tell you what, I was in pain. It was hurting. I thought to myself, you know, the pain that I'm feeling right now
is nothing compared to what Deputy Howell felt on the porch.
Nothing compared to what Carl went through on that porch after he was hit. And A lot of people don't know the details, and I'm not really at liberty to discuss a lot of the details of the investigation. But what I have learned is, you know, Carl went out an absolute hero. He was a warrior. He saved lives. He probably saved the lives of those three kids. Had he not engaged in that gunfight with that animal, that would have turned into a barricade situation, and more lives would have been at risk. Carl stepped up, sacrificed his life to save others, and there is nothing that is anything other than honorable about that death.
Absolutely, man. It's always been this way in my life. I've always respected people who are willing to run towards gunfire as opposed to run away from it. And from what I know about the incident, he definitely didn't run away from it.
No, he didn't. He ran into it, literally ran into that gunfire when he engaged that suspect from a very, very close distance, much more comfortable than I think anybody would be exchanging gunfire with anyone. And, you know, I did the job for 26 years, and I've been shot at. I've been in a shooting, but never that close. And although it's a very unnerving experience, I can't imagine the courage that it took for Carl to stand there and trade bullets with that guy from as close as he was.
And Donnelly traded a lot of bullets.
A lot of bullets, and struck him several times, killing him.
After being struck himself, apparently.
Yes, after being struck several times himself. Unfortunately, at least two of those rounds were fatal. Two of them, he probably could have survived. The one in his vest, he definitely would have survived. But two of those rounds were fatal. Unfortunately, he did succumb. But you know what? I'll tell you what. Carl didn't give up, and he didn't put his gun down until he was drug away from that scene. And he knew that everybody was safe. And when he knew everybody was safe, that's when he dropped his gun.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, you know, when you talk about duty, honor, courage, and things like that, he exhibited all of them.
Oh, he did. You know, Carl was you asked me, I was on your show last week, you asked me something on the air about, you know, what kind of a guy was Carl, and I think we got to touch on it too much. And I'll just tell you, the Carl that I knew, the Carl I worked with, because we worked together in courts and we worked in patrol for a while, you would look at Carl and he was a very quiet, unassuming guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a big dude. He was 6 foot, 230 pounds. He's a big guy. But one of the most genteel people I've ever known on the mm-hmm. job. Just didn't have a harsh word or an angry word to say about anybody.
Which really amazes me because I know I couldn't be a law enforcement officer because I know I have a very short fuse mm-hmm. and I hold a grudge. And there are things that if I were to see or were to stumble upon, I mean, there's no way I couldn't butt stroke somebody for making a smart ass comment or something like that.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
And I'm not going to lie. If I were to sit here and tell you that I have never felt an overwhelming urge for revenge on the job, mm-hmm. I'd be lying to you. Some of the things that I've seen humans do to fellow humans, yeah, I just want to take them out and crush their skulls.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't. And it's funny. I posted something the other day on Facebook, just kind of the social media devil that it is, just kind of an observation. I thought, if law enforcement were to suddenly go out and start randomly beating criminal thugs bloody for no other reason than they're criminal thugs, if we were to go out and start looting and burning criminal-owned businesses, would we be given the same leeway and allowed to, air quotes, express ourselves?
Like they did in Baltimore and Ferguson?
No. And as much of a fantasy as that is sometimes, as hard as that is for me to admit, somebody replied to my post and said, as much as we would love to do that, we can't and we never will because we're above that.
Yep.
And we are. And that's a
when you hold
a special
up,
quality.
Yeah, when you hold up your hand and you say you're going to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, that means all of it, not the parts that you wish you could forego because of emotion or anger or mm-hmm. because it's probably the right thing to do. You realize, everybody has Fourth Amendment protections, and everybody there shouldn't be cruel and unusual punishment and things like that. So as much as there are times that you want to do it, there's that line that, you walk that thin blue line, and then there's that line that you won't cross.
Exactly. You balance on that thin blue line, and you try not to step off it or fall off that line. And, you're tempted to do so sometimes, but that's what separates the good guys from the bad guys.
Mm-hmm. And let's remember, everybody's human. Everybody brings their own biases and prejudices and short-tempered anger into things. And everybody has a cracking point.
Well, and
some people reach it earlier than others.
Exactly. And we all reach our cracking point. And it's funny you should mention that we're all humans. And I think that's what people tend to forget about law enforcement officers. It's so easy to dehumanize us.
Yes.
That we're supposed to be emotionless, thoughtless, order-obeying, jack-booted, marching robots.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not. We have families. We love. We cry. We bleed. We get angry just like everybody else. We all have our breaking points. We all have our biases. We wouldn't be human if we didn't. And, it's this dehumanization of law enforcement that is so prevalent these days. And people forget, we're people cops are people just like you.
Mm-hmm.
We're no different. We just don't have the luxury of expressing our deepest fears and emotions when we're on the job.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we had on my show yesterday, we had Trooper Chuck Allen on. Sheriff Chuck Allen. See, I do that all the time with him. Sheriff Chuck Allen from Washoe County on. And we talked about the outpouring of, humanity and love mm-hmm. for Carl's family yesterday. And we talked about how our community is so different than these other communities we see around the country, like Ferguson and St. Louis and Baltimore and places like that, because things like that happened there would never, ever happen here, because our community, the police officers in our community are very, very engaged in our community. There isn't an us versus them mentality in our community, be it Reno, Sparks, Carson City, Fernley, any of the surrounding areas. At least I don't get that. I don't sense that at all, and I don't sense that from police officers either. There's no, let's go out and do it to them before they do it to us kind of thing.
No, and you're absolutely right. And listen, I've worked in the Midwest. I worked in a small town right on the Mississippi River, 35 miles north of St. Louis, a little town called Alton, Illinois. And I can tell you that there, I've been to Ferguson. I've been down on, I've been to Florissant. I've been to St. Louis. I've been in St. Louis County. And I can tell you that there is an overwhelming us versus them mentality. And it's been that way for decades,
mm-hmm.
for long before I got there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you have a 49% black and a 51% white population. The blacks all hate the whites all hate the blacks, and everybody hates the cops.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it was. It was like a, I used to describe it as a really bad episode of the Twilight Zone, where this city never got out of the 1970s.
All right. You know what? Hold that thought. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll discuss this a little bit more. Let's talk about, can we talk about community policing? Because I think we do community policing here better than maybe anywhere in the country.
I agree. Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to be back right after the break. KNews 107.3, Armed Nevada Radio, with Sean and Nevada Radio. All right, we're back, Armored Bad Radio, with Sean and Gary today. And I would be remiss if I didn't give a special shout to our normally absent co-host, Ben.
What is he doing?
Ben's on a well-deserved family break. He's mm-hmm. He's up in South Lake.
Nevada side or the California side?
I'm not sure. I don't know. He's at a cabin somewhere. They rented a cabin. I think it's he and his family, and I think his wife's parents are there.
With his love for the Second Amendment, it better be on the Nevada side.
No, you know what? He is on the California side, because Ben and I were talking about that. He's like, should I get 10-round magazines? I go, dude, you can't even carry in California. Take your shotgun. You'll be fine. Just leave it in the cabin. Don't worry about bears.
Wow.
I don't know. He's up there enjoying a little bit of time with the family, and I saw some pictures he posted. He's frolicking in the meadow photographing forest gnomes or something. I'm not quite sure what he's doing.
As long as he's not doing it shirtless, I'm good.
Well, sure, he did have a shirt on, but it's questionable whether he's wearing pants.
That's true.
So, Ben, I know you're going to be listening later. Hopefully you're listening now, but have a good time, brother. We miss you, and come back safe. Something else I want to tell you. You know this stinking haze? Mm-hmm. Is this from that California fire?
You know, I have no idea.
Is there anything left in California to burn?
Yeah, fortunately, there is a lot. This is why I wish California would break off and float out in the ocean, be like a vacation destination like Hawaii.
Exactly.
So their smoke wouldn't get to us. If that happens, I'll
move to Yuma Beach and open up a jet ski rental or something like
just,
that.
Just open up a beach jet ski rental here.
Oh, my gosh. If you've never been to the Middle East, Iraq, or Egypt, or both places I've been to, this is what it looks like 24/7.
It is.
No wonder they're so angry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been to Saudi, and Saudi isn't really like this, but it's really hot.
It's gross. It just stinks, smells like garbage and failed dreams. And
God. And then, you know what? I went to Saudi in 1997, and I swear to God, I'm still finding sand in places.
Oh, yeah.
I've had a million showers since then, and I'm still – every now and then I pick sand out of my ear like, oh, where did this come from?
I was digging through some stuff in the garage the other day, going through some surplus things I brought home. It's like there's a rack of sand in there. I'm like, get it away from me. We want to talk about you had Chuck Allen, Sheriff Chuck Allen on the show mm-hmm. yesterday.
Yep.
And we were talking on the break about community policing,
mm-hmm.
which is something that as a young cop, I – cut my teeth on was community policing. That's how we that's what we were taught. Back in the community policing kind of came to the forefront back in the late 80s, early 90s. We went from a strictly reactive way of handling law enforcement calls to taking a more proactive role in our communities.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's something we do incredibly well here in Northern Nevada.
Oh, we do.
And it's one of the reasons I like living here is because yeah, we have our political differences, but mm-hmm. there is no real – I don't sense a lot of us versus them attitude going on here, even amongst different races, different sexes, different political backgrounds.
You don't. You're always going to have your cop haters. There's always mm-hmm. going to – but you know who they are. Those are the ones that have something to hide. Those are the ones that are lawbreakers, that are convicted felons, that are have a multitude of convictions under their belt. So, yeah, you're always going to have that group. But you know what? They're in the very small minority of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what. We saw yesterday just a fraction of the outpouring of love and respect this community, not only here in Carson City, but in Reno, in Sparks, New York City, Chicago PD, NYPD, Chicago PD, Oregon.
We heard that Chuck Allen said yesterday officers from Boston, Massachusetts were here.
I hadn't heard that.
Yep.
I know that a buddy of mine went, that several of them went out last night and enjoyed a few cocktails with Chicago PD and NYPD. And he mentioned this morning, he goes, that's the last time I try to keep up and party with those guys. He goes, those guys can drink.
I absolutely bet they can. Yeah.
But, you know, community policing, it is the wave of the future. It hasn't gotten stale. It's been around for a long time. And it's the way to get things done. It's about the individual beat cop taking personal responsibility, investing himself in his own beat, in his little square of the city, his little geographic area that he's supposed to patrol, and investing himself in it and taking responsibility for it and getting to know the people. Stop and talk to the neighbors in your beat. Stop and talk to the homeowners. I would go around. I carried a box of flashlights. I carried a box of light bulbs in my car.
Mm-hmm.
And if I saw somebody with a burnt out porch light, I'd go tap the light. And if it was burnt out, replace their light bulb for mm-hmm. them. 3 o'clock in the morning, they'd wake up, they got a porch light on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's things like that that, you know, if you got a dark porch or an open garage, you leave your garage door open at night, I'd go let them know 3 o'clock in the morning, hey, sorry to wake you up, but you're inviting a burglar here. Mm-hmm. It's about getting out in your community and taking responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the more that happens, the better it is. I mean, I live in a neighborhood where we've seen police officers in our neighborhood for bad things twice.
Mm-hmm.
Twice. And I had to call them once because we had a neighbor that was having a party and a bunch of gangbangers out in the street and broken bottles and things like that. But other than that, every now and then we'll see a Sparks cruiser cruising around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I will bet you, to a man, every single one of my neighbors, if they're outside, they wave at the cop as he goes by.
Yeah.
Every single one.
We have a Reno officer that comes by usually a couple times, 2-3 times during the week if he's got time. Because I know those guys are busy. They got a lot of area to patrol. Mm-hmm. But he'll come by because we're kind of tucked back in there behind Patagonia Outlet. One way in, one way out of our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's really no outlet. And he comes by and he patrols. I think the worst thing we've had is some graffiti incidents.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of graffiti incidents, right in front of Patagonia Outlet in the middle of the street, the day after Carl was killed, this was Sunday the 16th, somebody spray painted in large silver letters, FWCSO. I mean, and these were big 3-foot letters in the middle of the roadway.
Really?
I lost my mind. Uh-huh. I was actually on my way to Goodwill, drop a bunch of stuff off. I whipped a U-turn, went back to the house, grabbed two cans of black spray paint, pulled over, stood there, and I spray painted over that graffiti.
Good.
You know. But it just, you know, seeing that, especially at that time frame, mm-hmm. really, I didn't need to see that.
No. And we talk about all these haters. I've always said that, you know what, if you don't want to have a problem with the cops, don't break the law.
Exactly.
Simple as that. I in my life, I've probably broken a number of laws. None of them violent. None of them crimes against other people. You know, stupid traffic things, not using a directional, rolling through a stop sign, things like that. Every interaction I've had with a cop over the last – since I've lived here in northern Nevada, I've been pulled over 3 times. I got one citation. It was one of the stupid cell phone sting things.
Yeah.
But every other time I've gotten pulled over, I get pulled over in a school zone because there's a school zone in my house that right by my house, if you turn left out, you can't see the blinking yellow light. It's hidden by a tree, right? And I didn't realize it's school zone time. It was like 9:30.
Yeah.
I pulled out. It was supposed to be 25. I was going like 35. Cop pulls me over. He comes up the car. I got my hands at 10-2, window rolled down. He comes up and he goes, you know why I pulled you over? I said, yeah, I think I was going too fast in a school zone. He goes, you're right. I go, can I take my hands off the wheel at 10-2 now? He goes, working with a professional. I really appreciate that. And everything was cool. And he said, just don't do it again. He said, why'd you do it? I said, I didn't realize it was school zone at 9:30, 9:45 in the morning. And I couldn't see the yellow light. We got to get the city of Sparks to cut that tree back. He goes, I totally agree with you. And I called my city councilman and he cut the tree back.
Sign here, press hard, 3 copies.
No, I got no citation.
Good for you.
No, he goes, no. He goes, you admitted to what you did. He goes, it was an honest mistake on your part. I'm going to let you go. Just don't do it again.
Yep.
Because I'll be out here in the next couple of days. Don't do it again.
I responded to a vehicle accident almost just like that. A guy went through a stop sign and he ended up T-boning a car. And unfortunately, the stop sign was completely obscured by a tree in this woman's front yard. And, yeah, it's a 4-way intersection. You should have known there was somewhere a stop sign or at least slow down before you enter the intersection. But he had a valid point. You know, the stop sign was obscured. I still made him number one in the accident, which means you always have number one and number two vehicles. Mm-hmm. Number one's always the at-fault car. Still made him number one because he did not yield before he entered the intersection, but I didn't write him for any – I didn't even get him a citation.
Mm-hmm.
So let the insurance companies argue it at that point. Say, mm-hmm. you know what? Yeah, you got a valid point. We'll see that. You know, we'll get it cut back, and next motorist will know, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. The last interaction I had was – it was in a car accident back here behind the radio station. And I was leaving Jack in the Box here on a Saturday morning to come to our Saturday morning show. Mm-hmm. It's about 8:50. All right, show starts at 9. So I'm coming out of Jack in the Box, and I'm coming by, and this guy just totally blows the stop sign. I mean, totally blows the stop sign. I'm going 25 through the residential, and all of a sudden, this silver flash comes in the left part of my eye, right? I hit the brakes. I just plow into his car. He was flying across the intersection, pushed him all the way across the street, spun his car around. I explained to the Reno cop, like, dude, I got to get to work. I got a guy sitting at work right now that is freaking out, waiting for me to get there. Because he doesn't know anything to do, and at 9:06, we got to go. We got to start talking. He goes, you know what? Obviously, you're not at fault. We'll push your car over into the parking lot over here. I will get you to work. I'll give me all your pertinent paperwork. I'll bring you all the pertinent paperwork.
Oh, sweet.
And he was within like 9:17, our first commercial break, he was standing in the lobby waiting for me going, yep, here you go. Here's all your paperwork. Don't worry about it. You're not at fault. He's 100% at fault. Have a nice day.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know, and that's what it's about. Community policing is all about going above and beyond. All right, we're up against a break. We're going to be back right after this commercial. KNews 107.3, Armor Nevada Radio, Gary and Sean. All right, we're back, Armed Nevada Radio. I want to talk about a couple of incidents that have been in the news that I pulled up. These are actually really interesting. There's one where an Ohio man has just been charged under Ohio law with voluntary manslaughter. He was a young guy in his home, found himself the victim of a home invasion. Two armed criminals broke into his house armed with handguns, committed a violent home invasion, which is far different from a burglary. He was able to grab his own gun, and when these two individuals saw him grab his own gun, they fled. They mm-hmm. took off running. So they're running out the door. They get out of his house. They're running down the street, and the victim fires several rounds.
They're not on his property.
They're not on his property. Struck the suspect in the back of the head with one round and, of course, killed him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been charged. There's some case law, one of which is called Tennessee versus Garner. It's a United States Supreme Court case from way back. And anybody that's ever been through the police academy, this is like criminal law 101. Tennessee versus Garner covers the fleeing felon rule. And what that says is that law enforcement officers have a much higher responsibility than, say, the average armed citizen when it comes to fleeing felons. Law enforcement officers can, in fact, shoot a fleeing felon in the back if they have to, as long as they can articulate that they know that if that guy escapes, if that dirtbag gets away, he is going to injure or kill somebody else. And mm-hmm. we know this based on certain facts and circumstances known to the time. So we're allowed to do that. That does not extend, however, to the average citizen. And here in Nevada, we have a case called – there's a 93 case called State of Nevada versus Roland Waddell, where Roland Waddell unfortunately ended up shooting a fleeing felon, killed him, and it went against him. Mm-hmm. The state law says that your right to use deadly force ends the minute the threat ends. And so you're going to have this guy in Ohio is going to have a really difficult time justifying how he was still in danger if both guys were running down the street when he pulled the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
So private citizen does not have the right to use deadly force.
But in a moment of panic and terror,
mm-hmm.
can it be argued that, you know what, he didn't realize that he was off his property when he was pinching off rounds at these guys?
Oh, you can argue it, sure. Probably not successfully. We bring this up in my class, actually, and I bring up this for a purpose of discussion. I say, let's say you're home at night, 2:30 in the morning, and you hear your 2-year-old daughter screaming in her room, and you hear a scuffle, and you get up, you grab your gun, you go into her room, and there is some meth-mouthed, dreadlocked, tattooed-necked animal on top of your child doing horrible, unmentionable things to her.
Mm-hmm.
You grab your gun. He sees you. He flees out the window. He's running across your front yard. Are you going to fire? And almost every hand goes up. Hell yeah, I'm going to fire. And I said, and if you do, you would be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's no longer a threat to you or your daughter.
As much as – and speaking for me, personally, he's not getting to the window.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
He's not getting out of my house.
Yep.
If he does, it's in a body bag with a toe tag.
Yep.
So it's important to know that your right to use deadly force ends the minute the threat ends. We don't give a coup de grace. We don't put one behind the left ear, and we certainly don't chase them, because that is just going to end badly for you. More cops are killed in domestics and foot pursuits than almost any other type of call they go on.
Mm-hmm.
Foot pursuits are a very dangerous thing to engage in. You start chasing the bad guy, you're no longer the victim.
Mm-hmm.
You're now the pursuer,
mm-hmm.
and anything that happens subsequent to that pursuit is probably not going to work out in your favor.
Well, and you're running away from your cover officer as well.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, private citizens, it's tempting. Listen, especially in the scenario that I gave you, as tempting as that may be, and I can't say I wouldn't pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's one of those things that you have to ask yourself before you get involved in deadly force encounters. Is this worth dying or going to jail over?
Mm-hmm.
My two-year-old, she's worth dying or going to jail over. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just make sure you get the guy while he's still in the house.
Yeah, that's the key. Once he's gone, the old myth about dragging him back inside, well, as you're dragging him inside and he's leaking brain matter all over your front lawn, it's going to be pretty hard to cover that up.
Yeah, forensics don't lie.
Yeah, no, and bleach doesn't clean grass.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not going to work for you. Another incident I found was this one. I can't believe this. This occurred in Philadelphia at a deli. A young man was in buying a sandwich, getting his hoagie on, and he's open carrying a firearm, which he had a permit to carry in the state of Pennsylvania. And if you watch the video is up on our Facebook page. If you watch this video, this kid is standing completely oblivious, absolutely zero situational awareness, with his back to the front door, facing the counter, waiting for his sandwich. Armed robber walks in and immediately zeroes in on the guy's gun on his left hip, walks up behind him, wraps him up, grabs his gun, and they start fighting over the gun on video. The suspect gets control of the gun, and one round is fired, narrowly misses the victim, ends up going through a ceiling vent. The robber at that point decides to beat feet and get the hell out of Dodge, and he runs out the front door. So I posted that video up because, you know, here in Nevada, we are an open carry state.
Mm-hmm.
You can lawfully carry an open firearm here in Nevada. And anybody that's ever talked to me knows I'm not a big fan of it. I think there's appropriate times to open carry or not open carry. And if you're going to open carry, by God, you better have your friggin' head on a swivel.
Absolutely, yeah, because it's sitting out there hanging on your hip.
Yep.
And with these quick-release holsters that we have,
yep.
It's very easy to pull that sucker out.
Exactly. And all somebody has to do is wrap you up and overpower you, especially when you're not expecting it, and that gun is theirs. And it's important when you train that you also train to retain that firearm, keep that gun in the holster.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as important as learning trigger squeeze and everything else that's important about learning how to fire a firearm is keeping that damn gun in the holster where it belongs, because it's your responsibility to keep that gun in there. Somebody gets a hold of it because of your negligence, guess what?
You're at fault, and you
yes.
give all of us that, you know, our firearms owners a bad name.
Yep.
I know when I open carry, I always make it a point to have my back to a wall so no one can kind of really come up behind me,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of know where entry and exit points are, where's the quickest way to get out of here if something goes down, because
yep.
I'm fleeing before I'm pulling a trigger.
Exactly. Yeah. Get the hell out of there. You don't stand there and be a hero. And for God's sake, if you're carrying, look around. Be aware of what's going on around you. You know, be a people watcher. Make eye contact with people. I tell you what, if I'm standing in line at Starbucks and somebody, like I was this morning, and somebody walks in, what's the first thing I do? I turn around. I see who it is coming in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just somebody else wanting their mocha chaka latte.
Foofy coffee drink there, what you drink.
Like I drink, my $5 liquid candy bar. But, you know, then again, maybe it's a guy that, you know, has ill intent and just walked in with a gun and we're going to be the next active shooter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so keep an eye. Be aware of what's going on around you. You know, don't be so friggin' oblivious walking around with your head tucked up your fifth point of contact. It's a paratrooper term.
Mm-hmm.
you know, not knowing what's going on around you.
And you know, you see so many people nowadays doing it. We live in the earbuds in,
mm-hmm.
face in the cell phone culture.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God. I mean, think like a predator would. I mean, if you were a predator, right? look around the society in which we live and how many target-rich environments we have now. People just so oblivious to what's going around each other. Got their earbuds in. They're listening to Meghan Trainor. Yeah. I like that bass. Yeah. Not paying attention. You know, face down in their phone, their Facebooking or Snapchatting or Instagramming and whatever, you know, those young kids do nowadays. And they're not paying attention, man.
They're not. But you know who is paying attention? I'll tell you who's paying attention.
The Predator.
The Predator is. The bad guy. He's looking because he's looking at you think he's not looking for a target-rich environment? He knows who's a victim. He knows who his next victim's going to be. And it's the person with their head buried in their phone, not paying attention to what the hell's going on around them, because that's the one that's going to get lit up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big guy. I'm 6'1", 250 pounds, right? Predator's not going to pick me out. Predator's going to pick out the 5'3", 130-pound girl
yep.
wearing flip-flops, just got her nails done, mm-hmm. isn't paying it, the little belly shirt going on, the little yep. tattoo playing peekaboo on her back. That's yep. the guy the Predator's going to pick out, and those are the ones that are the most oblivious.
Or the woman – look at this woman in – forgive me, I don't remember what state it was. Horrible video at that Catholic church where she's standing at the lighting some candles. Two black males walk into the church, this is on video, punch her in the side of the head while she's lighting candles, knock her to the ground, grab her purse, and run out.
Ugh.
Look, where's the last place in the world you think you're going to get attacked? In God's house, right?
Yep.
Or you would think. Recent history has shown that's not true. But if it can happen there, crap, it can happen anywhere.
Absolutely it could, man. Always. And, you know, it's a sad state of affairs that we have to think this way. I wish in a perfect world mm-hmm. we wouldn't have to think this way. But you know what? I don't live in the perfect world. I have to deal with and live in the real world.
Yeah.
And when you have to deal with and live in the real world, guess what? There are bad people out there looking to do bad things. And if you make yourself available as a victim to those bad people, they will take advantage of you.
And there's a lot of bad people out there. I worked in that world for 26 years, and I saw it. We're going to be back. We're going to wrap things up here in just a few minutes. We'll be back right after the break. KNews 107.3, ARM Nevada Radio. And we're back with Sean Gary on ARM Nevada Radio. We're going to wrap things up talking about Sean. I know this is your favorite guy in the world. You're quite close personal friends with Michael Bloomberg.
I am. Not
name dropper.
Because I like big gulps.
Yes. Well, Mr. Doomberg has some shill group called the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. And one thing I will say about them is they never let facts get in the way of their arguments.
Typical liberal position. Why let the facts
exactly.
and results get in the way of our argument?
We don't deal with those silly facts. How inconvenient. Coalition to Stop Gun Violence is advocating. They just posted on their Facebook page for all of their little sheeple to read and obey. And this is what their post says. If you see someone carrying a gun in public and have any is in giant, bold, capital letters, any doubts as to their intentions, never put your safety or the safety of your loved ones at the mercy of weak gun laws that allow individuals to buy and carry guns with little, if any, screening for criminal and mental health background. They're urging their followers, anytime they see anybody with an open firearm, to call 911.
Good. You know what? Let them call 911 and let them waste resources, because the police are going to show up.
Yep.
And they're going to talk to the person that's open carrying, and they're going to see that 99.5% of the time it's a perfectly normal person who's doing nothing more than exercising their Second Amendment rights.
Yep. I'm hoping, because there was an incident in Texas where a young man had chosen an airsoft rifle, mm-hmm. which you buy on the shelf. They're not locked up at Walmart like the regular guns are. Had chosen an airsoft rifle, had unboxed it because he's looking at it. And this is a kid, 17, 18-year-old kid, so clearly he wasn't thinking. He's got this airsoft rifle, looks like an AR-15. He unboxes it. Somebody calls, says, oh, my God, there's a guy with an assault rifle at Walmart. No further details. The cops show up. He's holding the rifle. They end up killing him. Okay? This is what can potentially happen with this call 911 every time you see someone with an open gun. Because clearly every active shooter we've ever had was a guy wearing an $800 semi-automatic in a Serpa Blackhawk holster on his hip with spare magazines, right? Because that's what active shooters do.
No.
They all have great equipment, right? They've all got Kydex holsters. They don't?
No, they don't.
Am I wrong here?
I think you're wrong on this one.
I don't know. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that active – no, of course they don't. You know, oh my God, people have some common sense. When was the last time an active shooter ever walked in wearing $1,000 worth of gear? Never.
Never.
It's never happened. So the bigger problem is here is that now they're making the assumption, you know, Bloomberg's shill group, Coalition to Stop Gun Violence, they're making the assumption that all gun owners, all carriers of firearms are criminals or mental health deviants.
But it's a ridiculous assumption. And let's just say this. Most of the law enforcement officers that you're going to encounter, mm-hmm. I would say the overwhelming majority, I would put the percentage over 90, are very pro-Second Amendment guys or gals.
They are.
So they don't have an issue with people exercising their Second Amendment rights. Now, if you're being a dumbass about it and waving something around, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, then they're going to take it very seriously.
Yeah, and please don't mistake me. 99% of those law enforcement out there are solid, good guys and gals with great heads on their shoulders and they're oath keepers, and they do the right job. You know, I saw the video at this Walmart, and unfortunately, this kid made a whole lot of really stupid mistakes. And then when the officers yelled at him, dropped the gun, because they didn't know.
Multiple times.
What does he do in the video? He turns with the rifle in his hand to face the police. And he dies as a result. All right? Horrible, horrible, tragic incident. I don't want people beating up on these Texas officers, because if you've ever been in a shooting, if you've ever had to pull the trigger or been faced with having to pull a trigger on somebody, trust me, these guys are, like we talked about earlier, they're not robots. They're not emotionless individuals. It sucks to have to take a human life.
Mm-hmm.
It does. And I came very close one night on a suicidal 18-year-old female, and thank God she put the gun down, because I didn't want to kill her. And I probably gave her way more leeway than policy and common sense dictated.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I can sit here and say, you know what, she's alive because I decided not to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was as close as you or me sitting across this table.
Mm.
You know, for anybody to have to face that, you know, I don't want to bag on these cops. Unfortunately, they did their job. They did it right. But mm-hmm. this young man lost his life as a result.
Because somebody completely overreacted.
Oh, completely.
Because, yeah. I mean, do they sell AR-15s at Walmart?
Yes.
They do?
Yeah, they have. Yes, you can buy you can get Colt AR-15, this M4-style AR-15.
Okay, so I didn't know you could buy those at Walmart.
You can get carbines. You can get home defense shotguns. They also have some, you know, kind of lower-end budget hunting rifles. But, mm-hmm. yeah, you can buy. Now, Walmart is kind of getting away from that. Depends on which Walmart you go to, whether or not you're going to find them anymore. But in the past, you could go to the Walmart here at Mayan and McCarran,
mm-hmm.
and they sold AR-15s in that one.
Okay.
I haven't seen one there in forever, but there was a day when I'd gone in there, and yeah, they sold AR-15s in that little round L that they have there, right there at mm-hmm. the gun counter.
I mean, I get that there are people that don't like and understand firearms like we do,
mm-hmm.
and that makes them nervous and uncomfortable. Well, then get out of the situation. Rather than call 911
yeah.
on a kid that was looking at a toy.
Yeah. Who clearly was looking at it. I mean,
And that's why, you know, I'm not big on government regulation, but toy guns needs to be very descript as that this is a toy gun. There needs to be a bright orange something or another on it.
Right.
And it has to be descriptive that this is a toy gun. But in that same vein, you see bad guys that then go, well, they put orange on theirs.
Oh, they paint the end of the barrel orange, yeah. Yep.
They make it look yep. like it's a toy.
And so what are you going to do in that situation? You're the cop facing it. You're going to not pull the trigger?
No, I'm going to pull the trigger. You turn in what looks to be a real AR-15 in my direction. I don't want to face the business end of one of those.
Yep. Orange tip or no? I don't care if it's got an orange tip on it or not, especially when you made a point just a minute ago about criminals are. They're painting the tips of those things orange. Have you seen the giant Nerf water gun that mm-hmm. the guy concealed a Remington 870 shotgun in?
No, I haven't.
You haven't seen that?
No.
Oh, it looks like a water gun, and it's got a Remington 870 inside it. This guy took it apart, put a cutoff Remington 870 in there.
Put it back together.
Put it back together, and you cannot tell.
Oh, my God. I got to see this thing.
I'll see if I can't find the picture for you.
Wow.
But that's, you know, that's what we're dealing with out there. And, you know, I'm going to go so far as to say, and I understand that airsoft and what we call MILSIM now, military simulation, is a big deal. It's a big thing. People, it's like paintball on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that it's a sport and people like to do it, and I'm not going to bag on those guys because they do it responsibly. But there is that criminal element now that takes these airsoft weapons, and I guarantee you, I put an airsoft weapon and an identical real one on the table right here in front of us. You cannot tell the difference. You can take those orange tips off. They're not permanent.
Mm-hmm.
They're not permanently affixed. They're glued in there with plastic glue, and they come right off. And you know, and from 10 feet away, a Crossman BB pistol looks like a real 1911 45 ACP. You can't tell the difference.
Mm.
So am I going to face down a guy and take him in and go, wait a minute, is that a real gun or not a real gun? Hell no.
and if you
don't have that luxury,
and if you're going to point it at me or somebody else, and it comes to me going home at night to go have dinner with my family, or you going to the morgue, you're going to the morgue.
Oh, trust me. Yeah, you forfeited your right to continue to consume oxygen, and I'm going to render your room temperature most Ricky Tick as quickly as I can. I don't know. I don't know what the easy answer is. I mean, what do? We start outlawing airsoft guns. We start outlawing, like, we outlaw big gulps. I mean, what are we going to do?
Here's the easy answer. You ready?
Sure.
When an officer tells you, drop the gun, drop the gun.
Drop. That would be the easy answer.
Drop the gun. I don't care if it's a toy and you're saying it's an airsoft. I don't care. Drop the gun.
It.
Do what the officer says. And guess what? When he comes over to you, lays you down on the ground, they put your hands behind your back and they put the cuffs on you and make sure you're secure and then find out it's an airsoft, they'll take the cuffs off of you.
That is not the time to argue with the popo. Don't argue the point. Drop it. Or these two words, stop resisting.
Yes.
Stop resisting, which means stop fighting us and you won't get hurt.
Do what the officer says.
Lord.
Because you know what? I may know that I'm holding the airsoft. The cop doesn't know that I'm holding the airsoft. But I do know that the cop has a round in the chamber and his finger right outside the trigger guard ready to pull it if he needs to.
Exactly. Or on the trigger if it's the situation is going south that quickly. All right. Well, listen, that is it for the day. This hour goes by quick, doesn't it?
It does, man. We're talking cop stuff.
We are. And, again, I want to thank everybody for coming out yesterday, for showing their support and their love. Rest in peace, Carl, till Valhalla. And we will see you all next weekend, 107.3 KNews Radio. Sean, thank you, brother. I appreciate you filling in today.
No problem, amigo. And we'll bust Ben's chops another time.
Oh, we will. All right. See y'all later. We're out.